This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
Check out the DV guide on AMI.ca/DV guide. You know, I work with AMI Audio, say it all the time. So you can enter your postal code on this website and basically get access to all programmings in all stations across Canada available with described video. It's a really nice way to kind of narrow things down, content with described video. Again, that's AMI.ca/DV guide. I'm Ramia Amadin. Co-hosting with me this week is Danielle McLaughlin, and we are setting up our Friday show for you guys.
We are, and TGIF, actually. Yes. Today, for our regional content report, we're joined by Sylvie Fiquette, AMI Content Development Specialist in Vancouver. Hello, Sylvie, and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year, Danielle and Ramia. Happy Friday.
Oh, yes. So are you guys in the deep cold now as well?
There's a bit of a thaw going on. It was crazy. And I know everybody always laughs at me like a hyena that I think snow is so crazy in Vancouver. But we were like buried, buried for a while. And it's looking like it's thawing out. But, you know, I don't think it's over. They've said freezing rain and that sort of thing. So just be safe, everybody out there.
Yeah, that's my least favorite. Really bad. It's enough to make you go into the transit system, isn't it? So I hear you're going to be filling us in on the Metro Vancouver transit system that's becoming easier to use by residents who are blind or partially sighted. So tell us what they're doing.
Yes. So this isn't a brand new announcement. It came before Christmas. So I thought, because it was a time where we weren't all sort of together where we could talk about this, I would bring it on in early January. So TransLink, Metro Vancouver's transit authority, announced that it's installing Braille signs at every bus stop in the Lower Mainland. In addition, they'll be installing tactile walking surface indicators at all bus stops on property that TransLink owns or leases to make these easier to locate for those who are blind or partially sighted. And so the CEO of TransLink, Kevin Quinn, said that accessibility is imperative to a quality transit system, and that these Braille signs and walking surface indicators will help so many people in the community independently navigate our transit system, which is, it's been a long time in the works, but the Braille signs will let transit customers know which stop they're at and which buses serve that route.
Will they have audio, or have they already got the audio announcement so that you know which stop the subway or the bus has stopped at?
Now, they have that mainly throughout the SkyTrain system. What they've said, they have real-time text-to-audio next bus technology at bus stops and have installed that at rapid bus stops in the region. But they do, you know, there will be an announcement. I don't know how consistent that is, though, on buses. I know it's very consistent on Canada Line and, you know, our rapid transit system. But on buses, the goal was really to actually make it accessible through Braille. And I think because of the surveys that TransLink had conducted over the years with the blind community, they had indicated obstacles in the transit system that were the most significant were picking out bus stop signposts from other poles and identifying which buses will stop there.
Yeah, that's huge. It's huge. And that's why I'm really curious about the kind of consultation that they're doing with the community to make sure that they're giving people the ideal situation for that, right? Like, A, locating the poles, figuring out where the braille is or what the braille is going to indicate, and how much trouble that will alleviate for people. Because, you know, you talked about the Sky Train, Sylvie, and most places where I go, I feel like the subway system is potentially more reliable than the bus system. And it's because of everything that you just said. You just don't know where the buses are going to stop, what the buses are, where they go. And the audio here in Toronto is just an absolute blessing for that, because you could just listen out for the right buses if all else fails.
Yeah, Bram, yeah. It's great to have the audio. And, you know, I think locating the actual stops and having the braille information. So what they've said is each braille bus stop sign will contain information written in both unified English braille with and raised tactile letters, providing mm-hmm. the bus stop ID number, bus route serving that bus stop, the bay or bus stop indicators, and a customer information phone number, so that it's actually really creating accessibility to that next level for individuals who are blind and partially sighted.
Do you happen to know, Sylvie, you may not, whether people had to go to court to get this project begun? Because as you might know, in Ontario, it was an issue where a human rights complaint about inaccessibility was made, and the city of Toronto fought against doing what they've ended up having to do, by court order. And I just wondered if this is just being done because it's the smart thing to do, or whether there's been a court order making them do it.
That's a great question, Danielle. You know, a lot of these things do end up going to court through a human rights tribunal or a situation where people are fighting for this access. What I do know is that obviously this hasn't happened overnight. There have been a huge number of dedicated advocates within the blind and partially sighted community here in the Lower Mainland who have been working tirelessly for years on committees and at TransLink to bring this level of accessibility about. So, you know, in my mind, a huge kudos, applause for their dedication and efforts to work. There have been a number of people I've interacted with who have sat on transportation advisory committees, especially through TransLink, you know, actually working with the drivers and doing workshops with drivers related to accessibility for people who are blind and partially sighted, and just training bus drivers. Mm-hmm. I know Sean Marcellet was involved, Rob Sleeth, so a number of people. And just a quick shout out to Richard Marion, who works with TransLink and is from the blind community, who has, you know, I've known him for about 20 years, and he's worked very hard on this.
That's incredible. Good to know.
Any timeline do you want to mention, or we have information for? Okay.
Sure, Ramya. So TransLink says that they'll be the first transit system in Canada to install braille signs across its entire bus system, which is about 8,400 bus stops. And the completion date is set for the end of 2022. So they want to get it done by the end of this year.
Okay. Awesome. Well, you have another piece for us. There's changes coming to CNIB's delivery of programs in the community of Abbotsford. Can you fill us in on this?
Yeah. So CNIB in Abbotsford, over the last few years, they've been really invested in developing innovative methods to deliver their programs and services to the community, just due to the limitations of not being able to provide in-person programming during the pandemic. And so virtual programs have really allowed them to be more cost efficient and to eliminate transportation, including geographic barriers for their participants. audience. So due to the success of expanded reach and impact of these virtual programs, the CNIB will be transitioning to a, this is in Abbotsford, by the way, will be transitioning to a hybrid community resource access and virtual program delivery model.
Okay, that's so great.
Yeah, how about the physical space for in-person events or services? Will that be changing?
Yeah, so I take from the announcement, Danielle, that currently the team based in Abbotsford have they're actively searching out community spaces where they'll be able to host future in-person programming and events. So they're looking for space that will be more of a community hub, I guess, model in shared probably community space by the sounds of it, because they've had such success with the virtual programming. They're looking to also roll out in-person programming, but that's to be determined as to where that will happen.
Yeah, it's more of an expansion than it is just saying, okay, we're switching over to this when we're no longer doing that, right? They're trying to expand everything that they're offering to people. Yeah, we've learned a lot about that through COVID. Time frames on this one that you want to mention?
Yeah, on this one, they're saying that the transition date for the hybrid model will be effective March 31st, 2022. And they're urging people who are interested in just upcoming programming to visit the CNIB.ca to register for virtual programs. And also they can find out about updates regarding community locations that will be offering in-person programming in the future. And a quick note that vision loss rehabilitation clients, they'll be able to access services virtually as well. However, an in-person appointment requires advanced booking, and that will take place at a designated community clinic location.
Sounds great. And even during COVID, they'll have a designated community location, or are they going to have to wait a bit on that?
No, they will. They will. So for the clients of VLR services, they can go to visionlossrehab.ca or they can call 1-800-563-2642 to schedule an appointment in person.
It's great to know. Amazing. Well, thank you so much. It's really helpful to hear about the wonderful things happening in Vancouver. Thank you for joining us. Take care, Sylvie, right. And we'll speak to you soon. Our content development specialists join us Wednesdays and Fridays on Kelly & Company. And that was our friend Sylvie Fiquette from Vancouver.
In the next hour of Kelly & Company, we're talking about Audible calculating our listening time for us. Hope you did well in 2021. Also, there's some great collaborations going on in the audiobook world, and Ryan Huey is going to give us the details on that. We're also doing conversation recaps from this week on Cut for Time. But after the break, we're joined by Bill Shackleton for The Buzz with Bill.
You've been listening to Kelly & Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.